He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. You've heard this testimony, and I use it to commend you for the music of your church. You see, good, godly, biblical Christian music is vital in reaching people with the message of Jesus Christ. Christianity is known as the singing religion. And the reason we are a singing people is because God has put a new song in our hearts. It is for the purpose of praising Him and presenting Him to a lost world. Many shall see it. How do you see a song? The same way that Pastor Ogawa saw the song that night. He came to that first service, the first service of his life. He had never heard a gospel presentation of any kind. He came with an arrogant spirit, declaring he had no intention of having any interest in Christianity. And then he heard the new Christians but basically they were new Christians. The oldest church there, we had two churches. One had been started a year before, another just a few months before. But they were singing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought." And Brother Ogawa said, "I thought, my life is a mess. I need a change in my life." And that night, before he ever heard the first words of Dr. Don Sisk's message, he'd already decided he wanted to be a Christian. So he listened carefully to every word Brother Don was preaching through an interpreter. And he listened to every word of that message, not because he wanted to practice English, but because he wanted to know the truth of how he could be saved. I commend you for your good, solid, biblical music here in your church. Don't ever be tempted to move away from it. Our purpose as a church is not to give people what they want. It's to give them what they need. And nobody needs what this world has to offer in any way. That's why, turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read it in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We have pastors and missionaries here. But it's not just pastors and missionaries. But every time we stand to preach God's word, we don't preach our own opinions and our own philosophies. We stand in His stead, in the place of Jesus Christ, to declare His word to people. Every one of us is an ambassador for Christ. I was on an airplane about 30 years ago, maybe, flying to Japan, and as occasionally happened, I was boosted up to first class. Never have paid for first class, but I've been given first class, I think, by God to give me a chance to be a witness to some special people. I was seated beside a Japanese man, and I introduced myself, and the first thing is he was totally shocked that a man with this face could speak his language. See, it is important to learn language. So I asked him, I said, "What is your profession? What do you do?" He said, "I am one of the vice presidents of Kyoto University." And then as we had our conversation, he returned the favor and said, "What is your profession?" And I said, "I'm an ambassador." He said, "From the United States?" I said, "Oh, no, sir. A much more important country than the United States." He looked at me and smiled, and he said, "You're a missionary, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." But for over 10 hours, we were able to talk about the Word of God and the living Word of God as well as the written Word of God. And before that plane landed in Osaka, Japan, that man prayed and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I kept up a correspondence. Back in those days, we didn't have emails and we didn't have all the computers and everything. You actually had to write a letter. But we kept in contact for a long time. I don't know exactly what happened to him, but I do know that one day we will meet in heaven. You see, we must be motivated to carry out the command of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a request. When he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," it wasn't a desire that he had that it would be nice if we would do it. It was his command. And he expects from us obedience to his last command. All the world, every creature, the uttermost part of every mountain and every island and every village and every city all over planet Earth is the responsibility of Cross Point Baptist Church to get the gospel out to them. To do your part. We need to be motivated. Do you realize it moves me every time I read that verse that we are ambassadors and we stand in the stead, in the place of Jesus Christ, the one who took our place. The next verse tells us why we are to take his place. Because he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why you can't lose your salvation if you ever get it. Because it's not based on anything you can do, anything you have ever done, or anything you will ever do. It's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And only his absolutely perfect righteousness will please a holy, righteous God. And it did. And now he looks at those disciples just before he goes back to heaven. They had doubts. Some doubted, it says right in the scripture. You see, we don't have any excuse we can use to be disobedient to the command of our Savior. You say, "Well, I'm weak." Of course you are. But His strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay, I can't do that. Of course you can't. But you can do all things through Christ, who will strengthen you. And He wants you to be His ambassador. When somebody says, "What do?" you say, "I'm a plumber." You shouldn't be a plumber. You should be disguised as a plumber, but in reality be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You can disguise yourself as a teacher, but you're really an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And it's important that everywhere we go, we do not represent ourselves, or excuse me, Pastor, even our church. We represent the Christ. And in His place, He who became sin for us, we stand before people and beseech them as though we were talking in Christ's stead, "Be ye reconciled to God." Now, for many of you, He wants you to be a specific ambassador to a specific place. Always an ambassador wherever you might be. But for many, He will call in special ways. And I believe there are those here this week who should make public, "Yes, God has spoken to my heart. God, I believe, wants me to be a..." You can have doubts. So did the disciples. That's okay. As long as your doubts drive you to Him instead of away from Him. We need to have people this week who will say, "I'll go. I only have one life to offer, and I'm not going to keep it for myself. I'm going to give it. I'm going to be an ambassador where He wants me to go. And for my training, I'm going to represent Him every day of my life until He leads me to the place somewhere around this world that He wants me to be." We need to be motivated. We need to be motivated. Incidentally, I do need to pause here and thank everyone here in this church who has been so gracious. Your pastor, your staff, so many others who have worked so hard to make this a successful conference. Those who've prepared the food, those who make sure everything is clean. And incidentally, it's spotlessly clean everywhere. You have a marvelous guest apartment. I may just retire and move here and live. The Lord is already saying, "No, you can't do that." But there are several things looking in these verses of Scripture that should motivate us. Number one, look in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We need to be motivated by the condition of the lost all around this world. Men, women, boys and girls who are in the darkness and the depravity of sin, and false religion just blinds their eyes even more. I get so disgusted and discouraged when people in good Baptist churches will walk up to me and say, "Well, don't the Japanese have their religion?" My soul, that's what's binding them in sin and sending them to hell. You see, the condition of the lost, incidentally, not the condition of their country. Poor people are not any more lost than rich people are. Ignorant jungle people are no more lost than educated city people. Many times they're in more darkness because they're harder to reach. But the Apostle Paul usually went to metropolitan areas and started with leaders in those areas. I encourage missionaries, don't be satisfied with those who gravitate to you. You've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them. It's your responsibility to get to them, not their responsibility to come to you. Incidentally, church, that's true right here. People just don't go to church anymore. Maybe it's because we don't care as much as we used to. Maybe it's because we don't pray for them as much as we used to. Maybe it's because we don't encourage them to come as much as we used to. The condition of the lost should motivate us and compel us to take the gospel to each one of them. Now, chapter 5, I wish I had time to go through all of these verses because I could give you all kinds of things that motivate us, that should motivate us. The command of Jesus Christ himself, verse 6, he's commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The circumstances of life were troubled on every side, verse 8. I could talk about so many other things. The coming judgment of Jesus Christ should motivate us. And we should agree when Paul says the terror of the Lord causes us to be concerned about the lost. But because of our time, I want us to move to verse 14 of chapter 5. We should be motivated, number one, by the condition of the lost. And number two, we should be motivated by the constraining love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, and that's all of us who are saved, should not henceforth live unto themselves. You're not your own, but live unto him who died for them and rose again. You see, the constraining love of Christ. We should love the heathen. Missionaries should grow to love their people with all of their hearts. But the love of the missionary will never keep him on his mission field. I think the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul are good examples of that. I mean, the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter. Remember how Peter boasted and said, Lord, I love you, and though everybody else forsake you, not me, I'll be there. After the resurrection, when Peter was given another opportunity, not a rebuttal, but an opportunity to die for Jesus Christ, he said, Lord, you know that I love you. At that point in his life, because he had denied the Lord three times, nobody else knew it. But the Lord did know it, because he saw Peter's heart. But even though Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart, he still stood at that fire that night and said, I don't know him. Your love, at best, is weak. His love is a perfect love. Remember, there was only one of those 12 that stood at the foot of the cross. And he's not the one that boasted about how much he loved the Lord. He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And even if everything is over, I don't have anywhere else to go Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That was Dr. Dolphus Price's favorite song, little children's song. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loved me so. And it's his love for the peoples of this world. That love that loved the world so much that he came in direction of his own heavenly Father in incarnate flesh and became a Savior. And it's his love for the world that demands that we go to the world that he loves. And we need to let him love them through us. He loved us in spite of our condition. And he loved us because of his own character. God is love. His love is unconditional. His love is unfathomable. His love is unchangeable. And his love is unlimited. Excuse me, but don't ever allow some theologian to try to explain to you what God was trying to say when he wrote the Bible. God meant what he said. We used to have this little cliche, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. There's only one thing wrong with that. The I believe it part is not necessary, because if God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, it's settled. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. That's why I love the idea of Bible translation. People need the scriptures in their own mother tongue. They can understand with their head, but it's got to get to their heart. And it's their own language that will place it in their hearts. And missionaries through the centuries have always known that. Many of our great missionaries of the past were some of the most educated men who ever lived in their generation. And they went out. And they spent lifetimes making sure the people they were ministering to had the Word of God in their own language. At tremendous cost, they did that. Because they were preaching Christ. They were standing in Christ's stead, not their own words. But you see, the love of Christ compels us. He provided redemption for all. He provided reconciliation for all. And he became righteousness for all. Motivated by the condition of the lost. I wish I had time to dwell on what it means to be lost. But also motivated by the constraining love of Jesus Christ. He is love. His love is perfect. Did you ever think about the fact that God, that he will never, no matter what you do, he will never love you less than he does right now? And for those of us who tend to get on the braggadocious side of life, if we're not careful, he'll never love us any more than he does right now, no matter what we do. We don't earn his love. We receive it. And we need to be motivated by the constraining love of Jesus Christ. And then now look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, question, are you in Christ? Okay, this is a verse for you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If you've been reconciled, you're a reconciler. If you have been brought to Jesus Christ, you need to be used by Him to bring others to Jesus Christ. Not everybody, your pastor, I believe, said this week, is called to be a missionary. But I believe every born again Christian should have a missionary heart. And he should be constrained by the love of Christ, who loved us so much that he became sin. Do you realize the magnitude of that statement? The holy God became sin. He never became a sinner. Don't get it wrong. He was never a sinner. But sin was crucified on that cross. My sin, your sin, and the sins of the whole world, because He became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if we have been reconciled to God, then we need to stand in Christ's stead wherever we are and say, "Be ye reconciled to God." Plead with them gently. Plead with them. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. You see, we need to have the love of Christ and then the commissioned labor for Christ should motivate us to do what we need to do in missions. The work of reconciliation is done. The word of reconciliation is delegated. And the witnesses of reconciliation are designated. Who are the witnesses? Me? You? You, everybody that's here. Ambassadors for Christ. He died for us. We live for Him. He suffered in our stead. We serve in His stead. He became sin for us. We were made the righteousness of God in Him. We must be motivated to carry out His command. And He sends us as His representatives. Ambassadors don't give their own message. They give the message of the one whom they represent. And His message to a lost world is only one message. The gospel message. Christ died for our sins. When we have multitudes who say, "Who is Christ?" we must witness for Him and tell the world who He is. And then tell them what He did. And that if they will come, you see, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And then they must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Not religion, not church, not anything else, but those who are seeking, longing for Jesus Himself, God Himself, because of who He is. Excuse me, I'm not a poet, but I want you to hear these words. I'm driven by constraining love, a love that's Christ's alone. His love is unconditional, the cross this love has shown. I cannot fathom love like this. Why should He love me so? He took my place, He died my death. Such love I cannot know. This love of Christ will never change through all eternity. His love is unconditional, and it included me. Since I received this wondrous love, there's been a change in me. I am now a new creation, not what I used to be. His purpose now, not my own will. All things have been made new. To God I have been reconciled. There's work for me to do. He wants to reconcile this world. He died for every man. And as my Lord's ambassador, I must fulfill His plan. I stand now in the stead of Christ, as on this earth I trod. I plead with all who hear my voice, be reconciled to God. If you, like me, are reconciled, there's work for you to do. So you must go and give and pray. His love constrains you too. Let's bow our heads together, please.